Otero Studio 6. The control booth felt hot, stuffy, with so many corporate executives jammed into it. Vera Griffin was nervous as she wormed the communicator into her right ear. Mr. Otero himself was standing right behind her chair with Gordon Kell at his side. The network had blanketed the airwaves with announcements of the special show about the Death Wave and promises of showing actual imagery of alien planets. The programming chief expected a record audience for the show. If anything went wrong, if the executives' high expectations weren't met, Griffin knew her career as a producer would be finished before it began. "Rudy's offered to take me to Barcelona," she reminded herself. But then she wondered how reliable Castiglione would be. "He's the type to leave me when I need him most," she realized. As she watched the lights go on down on the studio floor, she heard a woman's voice behind her say, almost timidly, "Mr. Otero, it's time for you to go to makeup, sir." Otero's voice had a smile in it as he replied, "Do you think I really need makeup?"
"Well, I think we should let the makeup director decide that, sir."
With a dramatic sigh, Otero responded, "Oh, I suppose I should, shouldn't I?"
"And you too, Mr. Kell," the woman said, her tone suddenly unyielding. "Makeup."
For the next hour, Griffin operated on autopilot, making certain that the set below this crowded, oppressive booth was correctly lit, the imagery that they intended to show was ready, every technician and camera and microphone and speck of dust was in place and operating properly. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw the screen that was showing what the network was sending out over the air. Puffery about alien worlds and the Death Wave, and the fact that Carlos Otero himself, founder and head of Otero Network, was personally going to host this very special show, with a surprise guest. Otero walked onto the set, looking younger than he would have without makeup. He smiled at the crew as he took one of the comfortably upholstered chairs beneath the lights. Jordan Kell stood off to one side in the shadows. Griffin checked the clock, bit her lip almost painfully, then counted down.
5 seconds. 4. 3.
Otero put on his best fatherly smile as the floor director pointed his fingers like a pistol at him. "Good evening," he began, "and welcome to this special presentation of Otero Network." The cue screen's lettering was large enough for Otero to read without squinting. "More than a month ago, three of the people we sent to New Earth almost 2 centuries ago returned home, together with a young woman from that distant world. They brought with them some very disturbing information." Aditi was watching the three-dimensional broadcast when someone rapped on her apartment door. Glancing at the ID screen, she saw that it was Rudolfo Castiglione. She felt a pang of alarm. What's he doing here at this time of night? Before she could get up from the couch on which she'd been sitting, Castiglione opened the door and stepped in. 2 bulky humanoid robots trundled in behind him.
"Please pardon this intrusion, dear lady."
Aditi got to her feet.
"I'm watching the show.
About the Death Wave, yes, I know. Half the world is watching it, apparently. Your husband is going to appear on it, you know."
Aditi started to reply, but checked herself.
If she admitted that she knew Jordan was slated to be on the show, it would reveal to Castiglione and the others that she'd been in communication with him.
"Is he?"
she asked.
With a theatrical sigh, Castiglione said, "You know, he isn't making many friends among the council members."
Aditi swallowed the retort she wanted to make.
"The chairwoman especially," Castiglione added.
Pointing to the robots standing silently just inside the doorway, Aditi asked,
"And what are they here for?"
"To pack your belongings."
"I'm leaving? Now, in the middle of the night?"
Nodding, Castiglione replied smoothly, "To a new laboratory in orbit. Dr. Frankenheimer wants to calibrate the speed with which your communications travel. He says the messages travel too fast to get a good measurement here on Earth."
"But orbit is only a few hundred kilometers,
not a near-Earth orbit. This facility is in one of the habitats at the L5 position, in the same orbit as the Moon. That's almost 400,000 kilometers, I believe."
"They want to separate me farther from Jordan," Aditi realized.
"I won't go," she said. Castiglione smiled at her. "First you say you want to leave this facility, and now you say you won't go? Come now, dear lady.
You can't force me to go."
"Ah, I'm afraid that we can. And we will, if it becomes necessary.
Raising a finger to silence Aditi before she could say a word, Castiglione went on. But you may be happy to know that we have invited your husband to join you there. You can be reunited at last.
Jordan will see through your little trap.
Trap? Castiglione put on an air of wounded innocence.
All we're trying to do is to bring you two together, where you can both be safe.
He motioned to the robots, which rolled past him and headed into the bedroom. A little more conciliatory, Aditi asked,
Has Jordan agreed to come?
He hasn't been asked yet, but I'm sure he'll agree. I'm certain that he wants to be with you, wherever you are.